what we saw is the backlog date, present date in July 2014, to understand what is the total that made up that total when you're looking at this amount of what we said in the agreed is the backlog. From that date, we looked at the actual what has been delivered up to the 31st of March 2016, and then you're also looking at the future planned delivery. Another very important aspect for us would be looking at project readiness nationally per province. What is the readiness of everyone to actually deliver on the specific item? We also will then look at institutional arrangements.
Mr. Traveller, can you speak more on the mic?
Thank you, Chair. Is that more clear? Yes. We also then look at institutional arrangements so that we can understand how we deliver this to the leadership of the department, specifically the minister. If we look at slide number 3, it gives us a one-page view of the situation analysis. The word backlog is made up of those two categories. What is the backlog pre-1994? And what is the, and that is title deeds. Pre-1994, 83,000 that is still not being delivered at that snapshot. We also then count and measure what is the post-1994 title deeds, 734,000. Post-1994, that is not being delivered into the hands of the intended beneficiaries. That total backlog number is 881,000. And the graphic representation indicates to us, on the most left side, 881,000, a backlog computed at July 2014. That is that total. We then measure next to that, 57,000 title deeds has been delivered, has been completed, issued in the financial year 2014-2015. Next to that, we indicate that 60,000 title deeds have been restored, is the word we use, in the financial year 2015-2016. So when we measure the financial year end, 31 March 2016, 117,000 title deeds have been restored. This is a very important slide in the sense that if we look at what is expected, we expected the process to start with confirming the backlog, which takes time, and there was work put into that. Work between the deed office and Department of Human Settlements, led by the Department of Human Settlements, to what we call scrub the information, so we can be very sure that it's the correct ID number for the specific site that we are making reference to in that person, is the person that needs that ID, that type of deed. So the beginning period is expected to be slower. What we're seeing the second phase, and the second phase, we call that phase of the first phase of acceleration, where while we started a bit slower, the second phase, the speed and the curve of delivery will increase, very much like a river, water is piling up, and it will end into a waterfall of delivery, where the speed of delivery in the first 2 years will be exponentially more in the last 2 years. So it's not a linear curve that we're looking at here, we're looking at a curve that will start slow, and that will have a huge upward swing as the systems are all designed to deliver at a different speed, as the learning curve actually assists with the process. All the efficiencies are in place, all the economies of scale are in place, all the required resources are put there, so the last 2.5 years will be exceptional delivery in speed. When you look at the graphic representation, it shows the linear curve. It also tries to project at the bottom the 5 years that we're looking at. And then we're seeing how the projected curve will also show to us very important for members to have a very clear understanding of what the backlog looks like per province. When you look at the globular amount of 818,000, that is now being represented here in a backlog number per province. It also shows in that backlog column, next to it on the right hand side, what that specific province have already delivered in the 2014-2015 financial year. We indicate what the targets were for 2015-2016, and next to that target amount we now have the actuals. We can see which of the provinces have actually delivered against their target and where they've delivered more than their target or below or less than their target. So to illustrate that point, look at Gauteng. For 2015-2016, they had a target of 13,900 title deeds. What they actually produced in that year is 18,000. And what we're hoping to see is that this picture will continue to change. Whatever the amount that they're planning to do will be significantly more than what they actually deliver, so that they can actually, in the last 2.5 years of the project, accelerate the delivery. We're going to look at slide number 5, which I think is a very important slide, so that we can actually synthesize the causal factors. It is always the question, we have a situation, but what led to that situation? What is contributing to the situation? So let's look at them globular to understand. Township establishment is a very important process. And to have a township proclaimed, meaning this is a farm as it were, or piece of land that gets divided into earth, and then it gets a township establishment number, which is called extension 43 of the specific township. It must be proclaimed. Therefore, one can link a beneficiary to a specific earth in that township. So if there are delays in the proclamation or in opening of a township register, it is a contributory factor to the situation that we can find ourselves in right now. There was also a proliferation of informal settlements, which is another causal factor that contributes to the challenges that we are seeing if we look back now. Another causal factor would be delays in conveyancing. So a conveyancing activity is a very important aspect, because only a conveyancer that can complete the process between the province, the deed office, back to the province, the title deed, the only qualified profession that can actually handle the actual legality regarding that. So if there are failures to value the municipal properties, if there are delays in issuing clearance certificates, because in order to move a property, there has to be a clearance certificate. If there is delays of any person, specifically conveyancers, to collect documents, because they're part of that process, it will contribute to the delay. Part of the causal factors. When you're looking at the aspect of project management. Project management happens at various levels. Look at from the province. The province needs to complete a process. And the process will start with when that earth or that piece of land is subdivided, the township is established. At some stage, there will be a procedure of building those units. And at some stage, that whole process needs to be closed. But the closure can only be really closed when the title deed of every earth is in the hands of the intended beneficiary. So failure to close out projects is also another contributory and causal factor. The weaknesses and the areas that have been addressed in the past beneficiary administration was also a very big causal factor that led to some of the challenges that we're looking at here. Institutional relationships. It's important that the strengths of the deeds registry with the department, with the provinces, the strength of those relationships needs to be maximized. And if that is not maximized, we are going to have delays. The strength of the relationship between municipalities when it comes to beneficiary administration, their abilities, that is the strength that we should tap into. And when that breaks down, it will be a causal factor for where we find ourselves. There's also other issues regarding to land legal matters, where there's occupation issues, there's power issues, there's a lot of vesting issues, there's challenges in between that. And those are other causal factors that have got an impact on where we are. When we look at slide number 6, we are looking forward to the calendar year and financial year 2016-2017. Here we can see that 306 million rand is ring-fenced to the specific provinces to deal with very, very, very specific functions, and that is to deliver 207,000 title deeds in the financial year. And when I compare that to the 2 years before that, 2014 and 2015, that total was 117,000, 2 years. Now we're talking about in 1 year, 207,000 is the target plan delivery that we'll sit and talk about next year. End of March 2017, 207,000 title deeds. And that again is talking to the curve. We're at the right place, Chair, members. The first 2 years it goes slower, and then the speed is picking up. So we are now really sitting on the sum of what was done in 2 years, 117,000. In 1 year, 207,000 will be done. And that is what we're going to see the growth trajectory. So in terms of pre-94, which is a focus area of the minister, that we must eradicate and focus on the pre-94 stock. That is giving first priority, dealing with that in a very prioritized fashion. And at the same time, parallel to that, also with focus, the post-94 stock, we're planning to 182,000. So it's the minister's focus to make sure that pre-94 stock is eradicated, is restored, and there's no backlog in that specific area. That's our focus. So, Chair, if we look at the state of readiness, it's an important thing to measure. What have we learned of the weaknesses of our system, how we approach this project in 2014-15? What have we seen? So a lot of the work is driven in-house with the province offices, the metropolitan municipalities. They are driving and they are working internally to deal with all these backlog issues. To augment that in-house capability of the province, all offices that we have appointed additional capacity to assist them with implementation. Now, those skill sets per province is made up of conveyancers, of town planners, of social facilitators, and add capacity so that the state of readiness and the ability to deliver is enhanced. Example, look at in Limpopo, where the provincial Department of Human Settlements and in Nelson Mandela Metro Bay, they are drawing from the national department of a panel of professional resource teams, multi-skilled teams that can deal with a lot of the backlog problems. And they are there to undertake specific work related to township establishments or property ownership when there are specific challenges with that, because there may be investment of VNG and RDP House already there, but there's still a challenge with the township establishment process. So those PRP teams through the DG is supporting where we can all the specific areas. If we look at the past, but we add to that quarter one of 2016-2017, that's on slide 8. It's very important to note here that we see provincially what the backlog was, what was delivered in 2014-2015, what has been delivered in 2015-2016. And we look at the target for 2016-2017, and we look at now, because we're in August, we can see what happened in quarter one. Let me put some color to that slide there. We can look at which of the provinces had a target of a certain amount, 5,000 for Eastern Cape, but for that quarter, they've already delivered 7,800. And so we can go through the various provinces, where are they above their own target, and where must the drop catch up. But I think what's important to note, if we look at the totals for quarter one of 2016-2017, Chair, if you compare the total just for the quarter, is already at 20,000 Rand for a quarter, and you can compare that to 2014-2015, it's a third of what was delivered in the whole year. Even the amount that was delivered in 2015-2016, which was 60,000, this quarter alone has already delivered a third of what was delivered in the previous year. Again, confirming that we're on the right trajectory, the acceleration is happening, there's more being delivered in a shorter time because systems are firing at a better capacity. So I would like to maybe also look at, we now have an idea what the causal factors were. We understand how 2016-2017 is looking up to the most recent quarter. What we're now looking at is trying to see from each province what is the state of readiness for a province, and we want to project where they are in quarter one in relation to the remaining three quarters to make sure that we are on target. If you look at Eastern Cape, and in no specific order, we can see for pre-94, they've got an annual target to eradicate 4,800 pre-94 items. Like this, in that quarter, they are behind their planned, but we can see what is accelerating for quarter 2, 3, and 4. When you look at their post-94 targets, 21,000, we see what they've delivered. They've planned 3,900, but they've delivered 7,500. So when you look at quarter 1 for Eastern Cape, they have planned 5,000, but they've delivered 2,800 more than that. And that is what we are saying to encourage them with the department's leadership, with the EAB's support around the system. We're hoping to continue to achieve more than what they planned. We have to look at the state of readiness in the concept of a province. So the province has exceeded their target, which they've set. There's major causal factors relate to beneficiary occupation confirmation. Now, this is an expected problem. We're not surprised that at this juncture that we'll find one of the major causal factors to be beneficiary occupation confirmation. If we look at the time that has gone by, we must understand that that will be a challenge, and the province has got systems and they're dealing with it. They bring the people around themselves. So a lot of work has been done in-house with the support of the municipalities. It has to be a collective action. So this is the snapshot that we have for Eastern Cape. If we look at Free State, we can look at the numbers for Free State. We can also note what they've done for pre-94, what they've done for post-94. What is their plan for the rest of the year, every quarter? And if you look at their state of readiness, specifically in that province, so it says the overall delivery is 10%, almost 34% of the pre-94 stock registered. That's what we want to see. What is the overall delivery? We can see that there is huge advances in the pre-94 stock focus area, great focus area. The plans are to eradicate the pre-94 backlog during this current year. And that, I think, will be an excellent achievement that we can go back and say the pre-94 stock for the Free State province has been eradicated in this financial year. Chain. So they're doing a lot of the work in-house. They already have an approved panel of conveyances that's supporting them. We're measuring the turnaround times of conveyances to see the turnaround time that the conveyancer is delivering is in fact according to what we believe is an acceptable SLA. So here, Chair, we can see the four quarters, what Free State is planning to deliver during this time, what is the annual target and what they're going to achieve in this year. Gauteng is a very, very, very important province. Just like all the others, the numbers are just quite big. And for this year, we have an annual target of 86,000, made up of pre-94 and the post-94 items. So their state of readiness, 40% of the pre-94 stock is delivered. Plans to eradicate the remaining 7,000 within the current year. So I think that is something that we must be pleased about. I think we had looked at 2019, but because of the dedicated focus on pre-94, it is the aim of everyone, from the minister to the DG, EAB, even working on this thing very dedicated, is to eradicate pre-94 stock. So the commitment we have from Gauteng is that within the next 3 quarters, we will reach an area where we can say that the pre-94 stock has been eradicated within this financial year. The bigger problem in post-94 stock, you understand that, but significant inroads are being made. We accept that there will be a large backlog. And this is an extra focus area that we can deal with those backlog, put more resources, see how we can capacitate. So this province has established a dedicated directorate to deal with the restoration of backlog in this province. So that is a dedicated directorate, the unit that must deal with this registration backlog in the province, along with an appointed panel of individuals with specific skills, capacity, conveniences, other external service providers around the directorate to actually understand the size of their problem and to help them deliver with that. So we look at KZN. 5% of the backlog delivered, with some 11% to be delivered in 2016-2017. Their plan is to eradicate the pre-94 stock also in this calendar year, financial year. I think it's another very significant achievement of another province that will eradicate pre-94 stock within this year. The particular problem in Metro, 78,000, the bulk of which relates to township proclamation. Now that specific issue has got resources now dedicated capacity within this office for the remainder of the medium-term strategic framework to drive that project to conclusion. So at the same time, while pre-94 stock is being eradicated and all the low-hanging fruit where there is already a township is receiving the focus, at the same time, the 78,000 items, with a bulk of which relates to township proclamation, that needs to be resolved. Limpopo, their state of readiness is the total target. Here is 11,000, 12,000 about, and we can see what their commitments are. The department is specifically supporting them with the PRD teams. The issues related to the credibility of implementation plans, the capacity raised with the province, and therefore the department is supporting them. Major causal factors relate to township proclamation and the transfer of state land. So it may mean that the process may have a few additional steps, which we are also with the department unlocking those blockages. To assist, to this in the province, tap into the department's, national department's panel of professional resource teams to fill those capacity gaps. It's a very positive relationship, is one that will lead us to success as a collective. Chair, we look at Mpumalanga, very important to us. 16% of that backlog has been delivered. There's a clear upswing insofar as post-94 stock is concerned. Accelerate delivery to deal with that focus area. Specific engagements with public works is actually pretty good underway. It is already in process. That's what's happening. Specific engagements with public works. And the province already made appointments of planners to help with that backlog, conveyances, so that they can deal with the township proclamation registration issues where there are those delays with the big causal factors. Northern Cape, the size of the problem may be small, but the focus that's placed behind it is also the same thing. Trying to deal with all the challenges there, or the delays. When we look at the state of the readiness, while the initial uptake is slow, we can see the progress is now making inroads, because as we're talking about that curve, the learning curve, we passed that, we're now starting to deliver on the curve at the accelerated rate. the number of registration instructions already given to in conveyances, and you can see it there. We can actually see how those instructions have been given to conveyances because we track it on a dashboard. It's also coupled with a relatively small backlog if we compare that to the others. But we can see, we have comfort that the project is in hand with the province, the right resources are put there, and this backlog will be eradicated. So you look at the Northwest. Beneficiary confirmations, again, is a big causal factor here. And to this end, the province has already had its own project management unit team on the ground that completed substantial beneficiary orders. It's not unexpected. We expected beneficiary occupation issues, and the project is so designed to look at the various expected problems and to deploy the instruments, like in this instance, the internal team on the ground completing those beneficiary orders. And another problem that may not be a challenge, but here it is, and therefore we are prepared and ready for that. We suggest a significant number of registrations are in the pipeline. So what it means is when you deal with a beneficiary audit, you can confirm that very soon you can just follow with the registration procedure. So quarter two and quarter three commitments that have been made by NEM, with no doubt to believe that they will not be able to honor that. Importantly, the province has already exceeded its targets for the pre-94 planned delivery, and you can see it there. They planned in this quarter to do 200, but as those beneficiary confirmations come through, they've been able to deliver significantly more on a percentage basis. And further, it indicates the backlog for pre-94 stock will be eradicated by 2016-2017. So members, again, another province that is very confident. And we had always thought that if one province can eradicate, the next will follow. And that's exactly what it looks like. A lot of the significant provinces are confirming that the pre-94 stock will be eradicated by the end of March 2017. Look at the Western Cape. And you can also see the numbers here. State of readiness. They've made inroads, significant inroads into the backlog. They've got a relatively small balance that remains. We are comfortable that the province has the project in hand, and we can also see by the numbers that have been put forth that their backlog will also be eradicated if you look at the term. So the project is also driven in-house with support from the municipality. And the network also dedicates a team dealing with the registration backlog. So I think the important thing is, again, once we've looked at the provinces, one wants to go back and get an understanding again of the whole. This again is a macro view. We know what the total backlog for pre-94, 83,000. We know post-94 is 734,000. And we know 818,000. Is the total we are chasing. We now know what has already been done on the slow part of the curve, which is 2014-2015. We also know what has been delivered on the still slow part, as expected, 2015-2016. But now we have facts. What has happened in quarter one of 2016-2017, and we see the acceleration, already a third of the previous 2 years being done in one quarter. And if we add everything together, we see 137,000 at the snapshot when we look back right now. We already confirmed also that in this year alone, 207,000 title deeds will be eradicated this year, based on the commitment that we've seen and confirmation that we have that everyone is on track to deliver. The upward curve means in 1 year, 117,000 was done. Year number three, we're talking about 207,000. So eradicating the 294 stocks remains a priority. Specific provinces have committed, we've seen, that they are eradicating their backlog within this current year. Gauteng, KZN, Northwest. So we can see the numbers confirm that. We also look at the specific measures put in place to ensure the expenditure of the HSDG reservations. Project pipeline matrix, integration with the HSDG Chair, maybe I want to spend some time and talk a bit about the institutional matters. I think it's important that we understand who is the faces and the people behind this. So steering committee is such a committee that is just designed. When we come here and we present, it is on the back of a lot of work that's already been done. On a national level, the DG specifically, the COO, is charged with running steering committees. So a national steering committee is created that meets very regularly. It is supported by other 9 provincial steering committees. Those collapse into a national steering committee. And this is a central guiding body for the project. There are no secrets. In fact, we are sharing in those national steering committees what are the successes that one province is having in a specific area, and we learn from each other. And the CEO who is present here will attest to that. Oversight of and the monitoring of achievement of project goals and delivery targets. And we propose corrective actions during those key phases of the project. What are we doing right? What can we do better? What can we learn from each other? And that's the function of the department there, to collate the best practices of other provinces in the areas where they need development support. And so we share that. So we facilitate vertical knowledge sharing across the whole project structure. So I'll confirm it's horizontal and it's vertical, the sharing of information. And you share information if the project leaders at the bottom are doing something different, so the project leaders in the province can hear about why that is working. So we're sharing vertical knowledge sharing across the whole project structure, so the learning can be shared at key points during the implementation. There's no need for you to battle with the problem that someone else has already solved. We're not here to prove our own points, we're here to share information with each other. So the National Steering Committee is chaired by our DDG. He's present here. The DG has dedicated this function to him. And this is his strength. He's a strategist, he plans well. And he leads that session. The provincial representative that we have here, specifically at an appropriate level, achieve that at the level. So each of those provinces there have got people that can drive. When they go back into their own units, they can drive it. The chief directors are there. When we look at that steering committee composition, we have the national department led by the DDG. The DDG is present a lot of times. Metros are there. Provincial department is there. We also have representation from SALGA. There are key issues that need to be unlocked, and SALGA provides that capability at the appropriate level. Part of those steering committees, national and provincial, includes the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, Deeds Registry, Surveyor General's Office is represented, COPTA and Public Works. Because we know if we work together we can achieve more. We have other organizations that provide skills into this. The Black Conveyancing Association provides skills into the steering committee and other services that they can do. CSIR technical skills, very much part of the process. So it's important for us to be able to monitor something. So with the title, the restoration project, there is a dashboard. So the need for a recognized, single, and credible dashboard to oversee the current future projects. We have to look at current projects. We must look at the future, progress. And this dashboard is a way for us to see national picture, provincial picture, what is the status, tracked on a daily basis. It reconciles reporting on deeds issued with deeds registered. So the dashboard reconciles, that's its function, deals with the reporting on deeds issued with those deeds that's been registered. Dashboard reports that provide an overview of delivery and project pipeline, township registration and beneficiary confirmation, instructions issued, lodgements made, deeds registered and deeds issued. What's nice about it provides us what we think is an early warning system. If there are any challenges, it's better to then know that first. And that's why monitoring and evaluation of this project happening on a daily basis needs to know. So when you look at the institutional corrective measures, dispute resolution, a significant number of disputes could remain unresolved. If there is an incorrect issue of a title deed, if there's informed illegal transactions, the cease estates, these are pockets of problems. Again, you say, Chair, they are not surprises to us. These are anticipated, and we have strategies to deal with those specific ones. We understand they may not be in the low-hanging fruit, but we have strategies for them. So the department is currently preparing proposals. They're dealing with how we're going to solve those things, where, so there's action happening in that process. If you look at the state, a land transfer, there is still land owned by the state that needs to go to a municipality who is demarcated to run that area. And that land must move to that municipality. Thereafter, it can be subdivided. So those are the challenges. So there's engagement currently with the Department of Public Works to prioritize the transfer of those land. The department is leading in those areas nationally. We have to look at rates and utilities clearance. So what if a municipality is reluctant or unwilling to issue a clearance certificate and that process retards the transfers? Let's call it an anticipated problem. It's not a surprise to us. It may be a view of a municipality. Well, those engagements can only be solved through an intervention that the DDG would lead. Engagements with COFCA, engagements with SANGA to resolve those areas. So when you look at the institutional arrangements, there's never been a confusion in terms of this. The minister is leading this process. The minister is passionate about it. I don't think there's a day that the minister doesn't concerned about this. The national department is those arms and feet that is driving the process. And Chair, I can confirm it in great hands. The role of the EAB is we're there with project management, we do secretarial support, we facilitate an extension of the department's hands to the areas. The dedicated capacity on our side specifically for that. For that reason that we believe in the partnership. So what we see is that there will always be an official reporting line. The DDG is present, will lead the process. So feedback goes through the specific structure. Will we go to MINMEC, we go to MINTA, wherever we go, there will always be a structure of how we deal with. So the resources are located in one place. There's funding, we know where funding is. We know where the leadership is. We know where project management is. We know where secretariat is. So in terms of the agreement, the dedication, support, all of it is there, very much clear. So Chair, honorable members, at this point we'd like the portfolio committee to note the contents of this presentation. I think it's important to note what the department has put in measures to place in place related to the delivery of this process. Specifically the funding, we've seen what the funding for this year is. We saw what additional capacity has been made available. We can see, it gives us comfort to see what the targets are. There's credible reporting there, national dashboard, measuring things daily. There's institutional support given to the provinces and the metros. Access to PRCs, access to conveyances. It must be noted that the department is consulting with relevant poor-performing provinces. And let's call it, they are not where they're supposed to be at this juncture. We've seen a lot of them is making that curve, but the others are making that curve faster. So let's work with them and to see what interventions will improve the speed of the delivery. It's not that they're not delivering. We're wanting to accelerate that speed. The department will continue to provide progress reports on the success. What is working? Failures. What can be done differently? all of those proposed interventions to be undertaken with the provinces, the municipality. What is working, what is not working, what can we do different? And therefore, we need regular steering committees. It must be noted that the department will propose that the metros, they have to ring fence in the USDG funding, specific funding to co-fund the program in the areas of jurisdiction. It's already been done in the HSDG, not talking about USDG. Metros have to ring fence, very specific. When money is ring fence, it cannot be used for anything else. And that is again a solution that the department has come that is credible. You can see. We've learned from what we do nationally, we learn what we do from the province, and so we can replicate that formula of success in the metros. Chairman, to thank yourself, the committee, for the time here, for the opportunity to be able to share with you this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shetlock. You tried your best. Any additions?
No, Chair. None at this stage.
Everybody is happy from my right side. The right side of me is happy, so I can go to the left side. Thank you so much for that presentation. Honorable member, there's the presentation on the progress on the project on title deeds. Let's see it. My honorable members commenting on this, asking questions, interrogating the report. Honorable Memezi, Honorable Ghana, Honorable Horai, Honorable Nganga Sabashi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I must confess, if I needed a lawyer to represent me, I will take Brian Shaplock to represent me. Very, very convincing, he's doing everything. And I can also see how the team members don't even want to score, because they think he has done a good job. I must say he has done a good job, but unfortunately, the matter you are presenting before us is an old matter. It's a matter that is a little bit difficult to defend. So you have tried your bit, but from where I sit, your good report is not really, really acceptable to me, unfortunately. But you have done your bit. You have represented your team. You also say this is a credible report. I also question that. Maybe for, you see, in all aspects, say the pre-94 report, the numbers you're giving, I also question them. So maybe what might assist is when you break down to townships. If you go to KwaZulu-Natal with the pre-94, if you say they are left with 4,000, tell me, Umlazi, Elazi, is longer than now. Is it left with that number? Are you serious? So, see, my respect. Emma, are they left with that number? Are you serious? So I'm trying, before we go even to 4:16, Gamala. Now the numbers you are giving, if you break down to townships, I think that's where you will then realize, Guti, you are not going to escape, you are not going to convince us that the work is done. The work is not done in this area. In this area of title deeds, the work is not done. Now you come to the current, the post-94, the townships that are fresh in our minds. You remember, number of us started as councillors. Even the chair of the committee was a councillor. Mm-hmm. I've been a councillor. The township that I was responsible for establishing, I know they were approved from municipality because I was there. So I also was at one board at the district level where I also supervised even other municipalities. How do you know the township establishment would have been done, all the processes? It's cumbersome. Yeah? Lots of these documents in the municipality is from the town planning side. Now, when your officials are not doing your work, you are not going to tell us what you are telling us. The real thing here, the government officials are not doing their work on a daily basis. Now, you want us to appreciate fishes for swimming? They are not even swimming towards the right direction. They are swimming towards window shopping during the day. They are not really doing that. Why? If this, you know why we must be strong on this item? It is the easiest. But you make it look like it is the most difficult. This is like buying a loaf of bread and then be given a repeat. Now you are refusing to give people a repeat. That's the easiest. Giving people a repeat is the easiest because lots of payment have been done. You have paid all the contractors, but now you owing the poor people to have a receipt. So everything, but the contractors you have paid, you didn't find all these excuses when you were to pay contractors. But when you must now pay the owner a receipt, you find him excuses, you have set up institutional some committees, then you are not finding answers. And these are answers that from where I sit, if we are serious, because we can delay other areas, but this one of the tragedy, you see the report you are giving, it would be acceptable if it was a normal situation. But really, at least on tragedy, there's some, we may delay and fail on others, but not on this one. You are convincing us on a wrong one. So we don't want to accept this report. We just don't want to go back, tell us the township, tell us. In fact, these things that you are saying are problems. They can't be. Public works cannot be a problem. We are sitting with them. We can call them. Yes. They can't be a problem. All the issues you put as causal factors for problems, they are not. You think they should, they can't be. We are government. We can fix them. You see, maybe on the outside, there's a delay. But I am of the view, sir, many of these things can be. You talk in terms of a conveyancer, you think it's a problem. We have so many young lawyers from previously disadvantaged communities. What are you doing to empower them? You give them target. We are giving you this. This is the target we want. You do this with your workers as well. Employees in the department must be given the to-do list per day and then per week. These numbers you are giving us, they are justifying murder. You want us to see progress on something that can be done even far better. So I'm refusing the transformation also, because our department is a department that can also empower South Africans, like the conveyancer. So what is done to ensure that our people, you know, the status quo where, you know, the economy in South Africa is still 97% in the hands of one group. Mm. And as a government, we are agents of change. Mm. As government, what is this department to do, doing in ensuring that in your little way, that is done? I know there are other areas that we are doing that we are appreciating, but I think you are moving a bit calculated. So when you must move radically, you see, in a manner that at least everybody can see that you are really changing South Africa. I think from where I sit, the report is really iyasimbambazela uba noko nile thuba ayikasetyenzwa. The subject matter is not the difficult one if everybody wants to do the work. That's the short and the length of it. If everybody wants to do the work, this thing can be done even more dramatically. Now, you make it look at the usual problem, so we are dealing with problems, but the problems can be sorted because we talk about the government. So from where I say to say, the report is really not acceptable. It's not acceptable. We want to move on that day. This is not a movement. You just, it's worse when even other provinces are not moving. You don't know why. Big provinces are just counting, not moving. Limpopo, they are not moving. And before, when you go to their big Akbari metro there, she's quite a growing city. So why is it not moving? So I think we are not accepting. I think you have a lot of staff in the department. What are they doing? Everybody must do the work. If everybody is doing the work, you have a clear to-do list per day, performance measurement. We can sort this thing. I rest my case, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nemesia. I think you've did your case. I heard Mr. Chaplock agreeing with you. Yeah. So I think you've made your case. Honorable Khan.
Thanks, Jack, and greetings, colleagues and officials. Mine are quite small, but I want to raise. I think the one my colleague will have asked, maybe start with it, regarding the steering committees. They are meeting and how often they meet and all that. That one is the bigger one. There are two numbers that you presented. One is that you say you will do 207,000 candidates in the financial year 2016-17. And then in the other slide, it indicates a target of 118,000. Yes, that one. In terms of new stock, 187,000 overall. That one is 207. But then when you move forward, maybe I'll go to the page. You have it as 187. I'm not sure which of the two numbers we have to rely on, because I mean the two numbers are not talking to each other. Then maybe along the lines of what the Honorable Memes is saying. When one looks at that that slide, especially the backlog, one will be interested to know, is this what EAB is working with, or is this what the true picture is? Because the two might not necessarily be the same thing. And the reason I say so is that on one hand we say we have kind of built over 3 million houses. If the picture that we see in front of us now is to be believed, it means over 2 million houses, or around about 1.5 million RDP houses, have had. That's what it means. Because I will say that maybe give or take around about 200,000, I know that's a high number, would be in communal land, wherein you might not have to give titles. And then it's a correct picture. Is it correct to assume that over 1.5 or over 1.8 million titles has been given to the RDP beneficiaries? Is that a true picture? Is it a believable number? And if we did that number it means we were giving at the rate of around about 65% of all the new RDP houses that we're building per year. And you and I will know that that's not the case. The reason we started this project was because we're even far below 60% in giving title to newly built RDP houses. So I think one, we do need to get an indication in terms of let's say the post 94, the number of houses built, not in communal land, and the ones that title has been given. Because I will assume that's how you will calculate the backlog, because you subtract what was given and what is remaining. But then 74,000 as a backlog seems too low a figure, given the numbers that we are saying we have delivered. The last one that I want to check, and you it was it's in the slide, but it was not really spoken to, which was the last recommendation, which the department says we must use USDG funds to help with this process or with this program or project. I want to check whether this is part of the replacement of the capacity grant or it's a new replacement. Because already I think we have slides of 5% of the ESDG to look at capacity in metro. So if we are introducing this aspect, what is the proposed percentage that has to be taken from the ESDG budget that is given to the metros for this particular project? So that's the other aspect that one needs to know. And then finally, you mentioned that you are working with the metros and provinces, but in many of our rural provinces where there are no metros, does it mean that you only deal with the province and there's no interaction between the local government here in those provinces? Because obviously there is backlog in Limpopo, in Northwest, in Mpumalanga, and so forth. So is the interaction only limited at the province, and there's no involvement of the local municipalities in the restoration project? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kana. Honorable Korak?
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks for presentation and department. Last week, Chair, we received a report from the department, and in the report, the department outlined that title is one of their challenges in the department. But today, we received a different story, because today, the report says there's a good and progress in the issue of the title deeds. I am a little bit lost to actually what is the reality, because we believe, even us as members of the committee, that indeed there's a serious challenge on the issue of the title deed. Two, Chair, there was a call from the minister that says, When a beneficiary receives a house, he or she must also receive a title deed at the same time. And I just wanted to check whether is this part of the progress made until date in this issue, that indeed when people receive their houses, they also receive their title deeds, and it's also part of this. Lastly, Chair, it's on the proposals, page 23, on the district resolution. The government is currently preparing proposal for the consideration. When can we get this proposal from the department, because there are proposals depending on to put for this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Korai. Honorable Rakabash. Thank you, Chairperson. We appreciate the comprehensive presentation from the department and represented by the Mr. O. Honorable Nene. Chair, we can never overemphasize the issue of Type D being a issue to our citizens. It deals with the dignity of the previously disadvantaged communities. Blacks in general, Africans in particular, and most of the bigger section of our community that doesn't have security, the Africans. It means they have no dignity. Yes, the government has restored dignity by giving them the ownership of the land. Because before you occupy that four-room house in Wamashu, but you don't own the land. But that is nothing without the legal document. We can never overemphasize. You can't go to a bank and make your property as a security. You cannot access a particular loan because you have no proof that you own a property in this country. So it goes really a long way. And most people pass on without owning or having that title deed, leaving behind siblings that fight over the ownership, whereas they are not owners of that property. The owners were parents. The owners of those properties were parents. So it's really, the backlog really creates problems for us. But having said that, Chairperson, on pre-94 stock backlog, there are five major provinces that have shown minimal delivery. And three of those five, they have big metros. The first one is Gauteng, with three metros, followed by KZN with a metro, followed by Eastern Cape with two metros, and Mpumalanga, and then the last one, Northwest. And my proposal, Chairperson, is that as we indicated in our last meeting, that we would like to see all provinces to come before the committee to discuss with it, to make their own presentation on the first quarter, on the fourth quarter report and the first quarter. They must also include their performance on the cyclist issue. Precisely because the pre-stock deals with the well-established township. That in most cases we are not dealing with land issues. Why so much backlog? Why so much delay in those well-established townships? We acknowledge that all of them did not have mostly a big percentage did not have a title deed. But I think it's the work that you can just embark on, ring fence it, establish a personnel, a team, and there were funds that were available from the National Department to conduct that exercise. And why this exercise is not being concluded or near completion. I am aware that in the metro of Etegwini, they've done a higher percentage. Maybe what Honorable Mehmet is saying can give us those results. They've done exceptionally well in the establishment, but I'm not sure about the rest of, I'm talking
about the metro, but the rest of the province in bigger towns, your Msunduzi, your High Piscas and Mhlatshuze, how is the situation there? So who'd really want those provinces when they come here with the metros, the metros, the provinces and the metros to give us a comprehensive report in that? That's my proposal, Chairperson. And we appreciate the work done by the Western Cape. My question on the Western Cape on slide number 17, there is no annual target. And how to then are we going to measure the performance? How did you yourself, in fact, how did you measure the performance when you are not given an annual target by the Western Cape? You could see that quarterly and they are delivering, but there is no target to measure against that output that you have reported on. On land, the state land transfer, something is not right. It shouldn't be a problem, a major problem, from transferring a state land from another department to another department within the state department. But that's where delays are. Land reform, that long name department, I'm sorry, Minister Mdomdala. I will get it right next time. But that department is a national department of the same government. And human settlements is a national department of the same government. Why is it so difficult? Public works now is the custodian at a provincial level, is the custodian of the provincial land. Why is so difficult? And in other provinces it's even easier because the MEC for human services is also an MEC for public works. And it has been like that in some of the provinces for quite a long time. Even if it's not the same MEC, it's the same government at a provincial level. Nationally, it's the same government. It shouldn't be a problem. We understand, I maybe understand because I was part of that regime, of the post-1994 stock, because there you have unresolved town planning issues that result to delays on proclamation and the opening of township register. But even then, we should be able to say, we have reconciled all this. This is the number that we have reconciled, and we've applied for the registration, opening of township registration, and these are the office. And even the this office, I'm glad that the team that we have established, this, we call it steering committee, and the this office is part of the Surveyor General office is part of that. But really, 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 they have delayed us for so many years. And they must give us their target as well. It shouldn't be only a target generally by the Human Settlements Department. Those two departments, the land reform and Surveyor General under them, COCTA, and they must give us their own target. And I think treasurer or whoever, another treasury or any other portfolio committee chairperson that deals with those departments really can. I think somehow we must have a joint meeting with them so that they appreciate the seriousness of this task and give us their own targets. How are they going to contribute yearly, quarterly? In fact, quarterly, I think we did say that previously, and I think quarterly, Chairperson, you must get quarterly these reports, the continue receiving these reports so that you know you monitor progress. Of this program. The usage of the ring fencing of USDG, I would like you to unpack it. Which part? Because we, in most cases, we identify metros that are spending USD USDG on wrong programs. And I know the department, they use a term that say it buys wrong items. So if we're proposing that the ring fence, I'm not against it. I think it might assist, but which portion they should buy of that USDG that should be utilized on the cyclists in the program, because they deal with infrastructure, blah, 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 on the USDG. And then 2016-2017 target of 207,000 targets. Are you being realistic? I heard you motivated. I'm glad you aim high. But looking at the progress that the provinces are making, do you think really you will be able to reach this? To me, if you look at the progress, this target is too high. It's good if you can meet the target, but I doubt. And make sure that if you realize that you are not, revise. Because if you leave it to the end of the financial year, woe unto you by us, members of the portfolio committee and the house. So keep on monitoring and revise where it is required to communal land versus title deeds. As other colleagues have touched on this matter, you see, it will be interesting for us to zoom in on districts with the local municipalities. How much of townships do they have, and how much of communal land that we have developed, that we have given a dignity to our people through the permission to occupy a certificate, if I may call it a certificate. Because although they don't receive title deeds, but we have given them some kind of, we have given them a dignity. So we would like that to also to be recorded, that so much houses have been built in a communal land, and so much occupation, not permission, yeah, I got it right first, permission to occupy certificate were given, or permit, whatever the correct way. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nganga Kabashe, and Honorable Members. Probably before you respond, officials, I think I want to appreciate the fact that in the steering committee that you're talking about, there is other departments that are part of the steering committee, in particular, the Department of Land Reform and Rural Development. However, I put it, that's a difficult department that Honorable Nganga Kabashe was talking about. Now, one of the reasons why it's critical, hoping and understanding that steering committee does it, is the fact that there are two pieces of legislation that have been passed, understanding the difficulties before in terms of this issue of title deeds, which should assist. One is your Special Planning and Land Use Management Act, which is PLUMA of 2013. And the second piece of legislation is the Deeds Registries Amendment Bill of 2016. Now, I want to understand from the officials, these two pieces of legislation, have they made the life of title deeds, it seems that it is better and easier since they have been put in place, or is the situation still the same even after these pieces of legislation have been put in place? Because remember, SPLUMA was meant to make the issue of the township, establishment of the township easy and everything else, and therefore make the township register open easily, because now you don't have different pieces of legislation that you have to look at in terms of. Now, I want to understand that these pieces of legislation, have they really made your life and your work easier? Or are you still feeling the very same burden in terms of the issue of the status? That's my first question. The second part is that EAAP is the project manager of this project of deputies from the department. Now, in the same report, the implementation protocol agreement is pending from the report. The implementation protocol agreement between the department and EAAP is pending. What does that mean? In simple English, does that mean because there is no protocol, EAAP has not started to do its work? Or what does it mean? I just want to have an understanding. I'm asking the question because, remember, metros and provinces, as per this report, they are doing in-house in terms of diabetes. Are the numbers that we see still the in-house numbers, not the EAAP number as per project manager? I just wanted to have that understanding. And if not, what are the challenges? How can we assist? I'm raising the question because remember, in February this year, when you came to present to us, this issue of the implementation protocol was still in the report. It was going to be put into place then. It's pending now. This is end of August. In April, when you came to us to present on budgets and everything else, this issue was on the report. Now it's August. It's pending. I'm trying to ask critical questions so that we can help each other. What is the challenge? How can we make this move faster? The other question I would want to ask is, the steering committee that is supposed to be sitting quarterly, just to humor us and to have comfort, maybe we would like to see a program of those meetings, but we can see that these meetings do take place for our own comfort and our own, but we can see that they work being done. Can we see that program? It doesn't have to be now, but I'm just asking. You can understand from where I'm asking. I'm trying to see if the report talks to the actual things that are happening on the ground. Now, the other practical issue that I would want to ask is that EIB is based, you have offices nationally. You do have offices in the provinces. Not all provinces. Now, diagnoses are all over South Africa. We want them to be delivered all over. So we would want to see the presence of EIB as the project manager of this project of diagnoses. Footprints all over South Africa. How do you see yourself making sure that you reach out at all levels? My other members have asked this question differently. They have talked about districts, they said metros, you seem to be more metros, but I'm asking it in simpler terms. How do you see yourself spreading and making sure that you reach everywhere? And for me, the state of readiness of the EAAP. I'm asking the question very, understanding that I might not have the full information. When the minister came to us in the beginning of this term, she made the commitment that EAAP would be responsible for diabetes, if I'm correct. That was her first speech. Now, you would understand me then when I'm asking the issue of the implementation protocol agreement still pending 2 to 3 years down the line. If an implementation protocol can still be pending now, what else is pending? A simple implementation protocol is pending 2 years down the line after the minister has made a pronouncement.
What else is pending? What else can we believe that is happening on the ground if it is so difficult even to put together an implementation protocol? For me, that is very worrisome factor. I think, make me very comfortable on this one. And make me say, no, Chair, you misunderstood. It's there, this implementation protocol. Maybe you read the English wrong. Because I do not want to believe that at this late hour, we are still talking about a pending implementation protocol. That's not acceptable to me. So please, make me understand why, what's the problem? Why is it difficult to put together an implementation protocol between an entity of the Human Settlement Department and Human Settlement? If it can be difficult between the two of yourselves, how much more if you have to put this protocol between yourselves and another department? If it can be difficult to do it in-house. So that's making me understand, so that we can understand the challenges and problems. We might be simplifying things because we are not officials. We are these politicians that think that it's easy to do your work. Make us understand that we are misreading the situation. So that we can then have sympathy on you and make sure that we help you to do your work better. For me, that's what I would want to understand. On the USDG grant that we want to ring fence for title fees, whilst we do not have a problem with that, because for us, USDG, amongst other things, it is about, it needs to make sure that there is economic development happening around those areas. And therefore, for us, if we understand title fees, it is about making sure that we empower those people that will have that paper in their hands. Because that paper is about making them having ownership of a piece of land that they can say is theirs. The question I would want to ask is, what has been asked by my other members? This ring fencing of the USDG, even in the last meeting, that proposal was made by the DG. At this point in time, you were supposed to be telling us, how far are you going to do this and present to us how do you think it's supposed to be done? Not this again. You cannot be coming here and telling us same thing all over and all over again. Because it says to me, you have not moved from the last time you were here to now in terms of doing this work. Let me understand. Unpack this thing and say to me, no, Chair, you misunderstood. That's not what we said last time. We are only saying it now. Because for me, this is not a new word, just buzzword. USDG grant, spend ring fencing, I've heard this word before. Title deeds, I've heard this word before. I might probably be thinking that I was dreaming and I dreamed about it, but I think this was said to me. Why at this point in time we still are not coming with a practical proposal that says this is what we propose, that and how it must be done? So that we can then say in comfort, we are moving forward. So as you answer the questions from the honorable members, touch on those areas, okay? So that as me sitting here, I can then say, no, they are doing well. They really have not just been doing what honorable members have been saying, that Mr. Cheplok is pleading the case as a lawyer trying to convince the judge. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. And we really value the input. It is giving us a great perspective of the way information is presented and also confirming the emphasis that we all have in terms of the urgency. I want to start with Honorable Mamezi in some of the very important points that is raised. One of those that we really take to heart is that one must look at this information at township level. What it does, when one looks at the information at township level, it brings home information from a different perspective. When you look at pre-94, what we call established townships, that have been there all those years, I grew up there, we grew up there, we understand those areas. And we have personal knowledge of them, of the situation there. And we're talking about whether the information that we are putting on a piece of paper here under the category backlog for 2019-94, backlog 83,000. The question has been asked, how complete is that number? So when you look at completeness of a number, it brings another question called accuracy. Accuracy is another question that's been asked. And therefore, Honorable, ask the question about when you use the word credible in the report, he says, I'm battling to accept credibility. Because we all have institutional memory and personal memory of the past. So let's look at the number. Chair, if you allow me, there are some of the questions one must answer in no specific order to this complete picture. When you park that idea there, we then have to talk about what this number is at a specific time. And because Honorable Ghana asked a different question, he said, let's count 3 million investment into RDP, which he said these are houses. We know it's 4.5 million housing opportunity, but let's talk about houses. And that's an important number. And we look at that, that number is broken down into various aspects and categories. Honorable Ghana, we find instances where state land has got RTP houses and BNC houses on them. It's still on an undivided piece of land. It's one farm. No, it's undivided at this juncture. The houses are there. There is a state land. It must be subdivided. And part of its program would be for it to move from state to municipality so the township process can parcel can be subdivided. And therefore, I agree with the members that because we have another department with a long name, this problem should not be a problem. And I remain positive and very optimistic that this is an anticipated problem. We have figured that there is a problem, there will be these kinds. And therefore, we feel the intervention that the department is putting to create this cooperation with the steering committee that includes the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is part of the solution. That is why the Surveyor General and the Registrar is present to deal with those things. We also say that the concept of saying here that this problem, defined as it is, with the numbers on the table, we are confident in the second curve of delivery to accelerate it for that reason. We're saying that now that all the parties are there, that all the efficiency around the system, we're looking at a better delivery in the second half. And that's why we're so confident about the 207,000. But I want to go back to Honorable Menezi. When you look at those categories, we have tribal land, which is RDP investment. And Mpopo is a very good example of communal land where RDP investment is there. And we are looking at permission to occupy. I agree with Honorable that we have to create the answer of what is the size and quantum of all the PTOs. It is that way that we can actually break down what Honorable Ghana was asking, the 3 million. How much of that is the permission to occupy? How much of that is specific Ingunyama Trust pay and post? How many is communal land? What are you looking at when you break down the entire 3 million units? Because when we get to a number called 818,000, what are we talking about? The question was asked, is it possible or is it probable, Chair, that we could say there's already 1.5 or 1.8 million RDP houses registered in the deed office? On the Ghana, the answer is yes. In 2009, there was already 1.4 million RDP houses already registered. In 2009, already 91,000 of those houses actually traded hands with someone has extracted value, economic value, by the sale of that property. I think we are aware in our calculations when we have to go back and reconstruct, let's use the number 3 million. We are comfortable that about 1.8 million of those existing units are currently founded by a match that the good DDG already did. When you look at what's in the deed office, title deeds, when you compare that to an ID number that's in the HSS, you must find a match only if on HHS there's an ID number which we think is an intended beneficiary. And we find that ID number owning land on a specific area on the deeds registry which matches the location, we say those are the people that already that work has been done. So Honorable Ghana, it is more probable that 1.8 million of those beneficiaries' houses are there on the deeds registry. It helps us to calculate the credibility of 818,000. We also know that if we take that amount of, let's even call it 1.5 million share, half of that is remaining. It's not impossible that 818,000 of what we are using as a number, the balance between those two figures is made up of communal land investment, where RDF and BNC houses are at, the townships needs to be established, and those figures are becoming a little bit more credible to understand what has been done. So I agree with one of my messages that more work must be done by government officials, including all of us, to actually crystallize those numbers and release all of the efforts that we have to do. The big question still remains is 83,000 representatives of 394. Based on the information that we have, and information can only be on a municipality, someone must have paid rates at the juncture. They were paying rent that you did not own that land. We know there was a program called EDDBS, where we devolved certain assets and made sure that a person was occupying and paying rent for so many years received their title deed. They paid 7,000, others paid none, but that was most. We have to reconcile what we have. We know what's on the database of the various municipalities. And what is remaining is the numbers that the municipalities, the metro, and the province would submit to the as an idea, and we have a number. If we in our process, Honorable Mamezi, must find out that our problem is bigger than 83,000 for 394, I think we'll be very pleased, not intimidated, understanding that if a municipality got merged with another one, and it is not impossible the information became unclear, that information is wanted sooner than later. And therefore, it's a collective response of us all to complete those numbers. We know what we have. We must first know what we have. We work on that. It's a known. And anything that's outside of the known is what we'll add through a credible process like confirmation, and we can add to that. So I think if we understand their titled land, we know there's an earth. We can count it. So we have the earth number. We know what communal land. We can test the PTOs. We know what is the trust land. And so we can add that together. I think for us it gives us a very good comfort around the numbers. So we remain confident that the numbers that we have here, we know where they come from, they are known, and we can add to them, but at least in the environment that we have. So I think, Chair, for the PTOs and to have more of that information will probably take us 6 months more to complete that picture, so we can come back at another opportunity and say, add it to what we know is the 3 million RDP houses. How many PTOs is made up of that? And we can do some of that, Chair. So, Honorable, I hope I responded to your component of the question. We then also would like to look at Honorable Ghana. 207,000 is a number that is made up for a full year. The 137,000 is actually a snapshot of a specific time when we're looking. And we're looking at 2014, 2015, and we've added one quarter. And I want to just show you on this slide here that 137,000 represents a picture that includes two past years plus a quarter. You'll note on the top there, 2016-2017 is only a quarter. And the total of that on the right, second right column shows 20,000. We're adding 20,000 to a snapshot date, which is actually the end of quarter one, which is the end of June. And therefore, we show 2015-2016 actually is 117,000 that has already been done in the past financial year. And then you add in quarter one of this financial year. So the 20,000 represents a percentage question was asked, are we confident that 200,007 is the number? An honorable indicated to us that if we get to quarter number two and we're not seeing the upward trajectory, one must be realistic and then look at those numbers to find out if they are achievable. Are they realistic or not? These numbers are based on the commitments and also the ring fencing of specific monies that cannot be spent on anything else other than delivering the title deeds. And we receive that through the province and their budget plans. We are doing the monitoring. The DG is also doing that. And if we get to that point where it looks less possible, then I think we'll take heed to that adjustment and bring that through. So I think the question was asked about the USDG ring fencing. I'm going to leave that for the DDG to respond to. In terms of the next question, I think the question was asked whether when we look at these numbers, are we including the current projects? Because currently we're delivering houses every single year with a target for this year. And honorable, I want to indicate that the specific presentation here is very much rooted in a snapshot of July 2014. This is the backlog. We're looking specifically at July 2014. What was the number? 818,000. And we're reporting on what we're doing to eradicate that backlog. So here, in this, we have not covered concepts about the future and what happens the day thereafter, because this is a specific project that we're dealing with that. So the minister did, in fact, make that utterance and statement and affirmation that when you receive a house, you also receive a title deed plus a key. And that is a different process, I must say. What the learnings that we're finding out of the backlog eradication process is providing policy information and changes in the current delivery to actually achieve that goal of having a title deed issued at the same time. I think the way Honorable made it so very clear about the importance of, let's start with dignity. We talk about the title. The interesting thing about it is, it starts even in the Bible, then in the Constitution. It is such a root of something that has been taken from us and needs to be going back, because we actually were born with land and not to stay and occupy it, but actually to own it. This is how we were. So it's a very important restoration of firstly dignity, ownership of land, not occupation. We are not tenants here. And that is an important thing. The second thing is, there is an economy that you can only participate in through ownership of land, and therefore we agree. And I think that is the focus that we have here. Is that African people, black people, South African here, land ownership is something you should not die without. And I think it is very sad that our people die without owning their property. So we say that the pre-94 stock, a lot of provinces had committed with the number that we're using, 83,000, and their backlog component, that yes, they are very confident by the end of 2070 that they would have eradicated their backlog. I agree to the view that we need to bring them, and that the portfolio committee will decide that to bring more clarity to that. But for sure, what they've ring-fenced and the focus that they have with the current machines consultants and dedicated resources, there is a confirmation that 2017 will be eradicated. So in terms of the question about the Western Cape targets, I think there should never be a delay between the municipality and now that we have public works access to why can't land move. I think those discussions and those processes is underway. It's not something that is not being dealt with. The DDG, the DG is doing that, we're part of those discussions, and I think the willingness is very much there. So when we look at USDG, And I want to maybe only make a point about it, and the DG will answer towards that. Previously, when you looked at the loan subsidy quantum in a house you've been built, it was made up of brick and mortar, labor, and everything. account that will were dedicated for the physical title deed, including the house. When you look at the full house, we're going to say. So when we're talking about ring fencing, we're talking about ring fencing those line items specifically. But the DGOs will speak to those ones. The last items on your side, you've asked the question whether it's Pluma and whether the new legislative instruments, even in the deed registers, has made our life easier. I think the answer is yes, and the answer is yes for the future. I think these are tools that were outstanding, and Pluma is there. It's about harnessing that and adding that to what we're doing here. We're also aware that the Department of Rural Development Land Reform is busy with a deed modernization project, which will make it even much more easier for outside, not outside, but in the government workings to work together when that is more modernized. And I think I can confirm that we are also being invited to be part of that process of actually the modernization of the deeds office in its automatic systems. So the one question I'm not going to answer will be for the DDG. The question was asked whether the EAB is waiting to start working or whether the EAB is already working and doing its role. I can confirm that after we received a very clear what statement, which is what we must do, and the when statement, by when we must have it done, we delayed none. We started immediately, and so there is a lot of dedication and time spent because we don't need a contract to do our passion. We understand that black people like us, we need our land. So we have been working tirelessly on this, and we put more resources in, and paperwork has been signed. We've done our part of signing every document to be done from the IPA and the stuff. We've got no worry about that. Our board is resolved in it. In the previous EAB board already in 2014 resolved on what we need to do. So that's in place. So there's no confusion on our side about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what the procedure of that is. Which I can confirm that our resources is there. That concept of being national is being rolled out. We've completed for Cape Town. We've busy with KZN. And so we're also looking at concepts of increasing our footprint by, let's call it cohabitation, for lack of a better word, is to share office and resources with some of the other entities of the department. In which they have physical office all over, the EAB can have a presence there and be a role in that. There's a person that's responsible for that crazy who's dealing with that. So, Jay, I can confirm that on our side, we are confident about the part. And Honourable Mayor, I want to say to you, it is not a picture that we are trying to say that there is no problem here. I want to present a picture that we've spend the time to calculate these risks, these problems, the urgency of that, and we said there must be no problem that doesn't have an answer. One problem may be solved in the short because it's low-hanging fruit. There are others that will take a bit longer, but there are strategies for that, and that's why we feel confident that we're on track in terms of where we should be. We want to be much further, but we're only now starting to yield the acceleration of delivery. We can see it in the numbers. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you very much,
thanks, Chair. Just a couple of points. Chair, I think, I mean, just following from Member Mamedi's point, I think what we don't want to paint, and I think what we're not saying, is that there's no sense of urgency. I mean, we have inherited this problem, and which we are taking responsibility for both as the national department together with the agency. And I think, as the DG has indicated on numerous occasions, we take responsibility for that. So I think it would be unfair if we came to you, Chair, and we blamed everyone else. I think what we're saying is that we're starting off from a low base. And for this financial year, we set the target to 207 with the provinces, and Chair, I think what we've agreed is that if we don't take a more activist, interventionist role
as the department, we're not going to achieve that target. I think what we need to say that. So between ourselves and the EAB, we've agreed that if we leave this to the provinces and the municipalities, we're not going to achieve that target. I think we need to be clear about it. We need to be honest about it. And there are certain interventionist measures which are going to disrupt the system particularly. Chair, just to indicate, we had a steering committee on the 3rd and 4th of August, and the DG was there himself. He read the Riot Act, if I may say so, that steering committee, in the absence of the DG, if I'm not there, then Brian chairs it. If Brian doesn't chair it, Anton chairs it. So the minutes are available. What I can tell you is that I think, Anton, there was probably two HODs present from the 9 provinces. So yes, let's just be honest that the provinces and the municipalities don't have the same sense of urgency and passion that we have. But the necessary issue that we need to indicate is that it doesn't mean that we're taking a lackadaisical attitude to that. So I can inform, Chair, the ring fencing that we spoke about was the HSDG. So you'll know in the HSDG we spoke about that, and that has been done. The point about the USDG is that if we say that the Urban Settlements Development Grant is a grant that covers human settlements, and if we're speaking about a substantial amount of households that were upgraded in informal settlements, then township establishment and the related processes around providing security of tenure has fallen within those metros. And the point about it is, this is not a process that requires a huge amount of money. I mean, if you look at it, at maximum, Chair, to fix this problem is going to cost 2,000 rand per household, if that. And the question we're asking is that, well, is that so much to ask? No. Given what we inherited around this issue. So Chair, I don't want the committee to you know, we're not changing. I think Brian, we've got to be able to remain positive, and we'll fall on our swords if we have to, in relation to that. Chair, in relation to the issue around the implementation protocol, Chair, it's an administrative arrangement to provide the financial and the compliance between ourselves and the so in effect, if you look at the protocol, it basically speaks about the secondment, because Mr. Arnter spends 90% or 80% of his time in the department, and between the CEO and ourselves, we agree that there needs to be some accountability in relation to that, so that we can account for the time, the effort that the EAB. Chair, I need to indicate the EAB is paying for his salary, they're paying for the administrative assistant, they're paying for the dashboard. So the implementation protocol, Chair, in principle we've agreed about it, and I think I just need to check within the office, and I can send you a signed copy. But the point of that implementation protocol was the administrative arrangement. So the EAB have since 2014 accepted responsibility. So the work's been done, and the assumption is, and Brian as the CEO has done that, it's included in their staff plan, it's included in their APPs. So the legal basis for what they're doing is already in place. What we've asked is that, Chair, given the fact that Minister and yourself, there's a political priority to this, as the department we indicated, we cannot not hold anyone accountable. So the DG basically says, even if we give it to the EAB, you are going to be responsible for this, Chair. So I hope that indicates that we're not taking. Chair, I think what I need to indicate is, and without being alarmist, there will be steps, and the DG's asked us to do that. So we will bring in the additional capacity, and there's two or three people that we're considering looking at a contract, because I want to reiterate this, Chair. If we leave this to the provinces and municipalities, we're not going to get there. I think if you look, and Brian, you just might want to bring up the slide around Gauteng. Chair, we don't have any confidence in Gauteng. But let me give you the example of contrasting Gauteng with Limpopo. At the last steering committee, we read the Riot Act. Limpopo, for example, were honest enough, the HOD was honest enough to say, guys, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to come and intervene. And we've done that. We've pointed out PRCs. In fact, it's become necessary now for us to supplement the capacity for Anton. So, Chair, I think it's just important to note that on the issue around rural development, land reform, and public works, it would be wrong for us to sit here and say to you that those departments are not bringing. They at the last steering committee, the chief director responsible for the deeds office was there. He made the presentation. The chief deeds registrar attends our implementation protocol. DG Shabane has had 3 meetings with us, 2 with the DG where he's committed and his officials are available. But the issue is that to move this project past it is the township establishment and it's the land planning issues. Those are the 2 biggest hurdles that are there. And then the third one is the issue around after township establishment is whether or not the attorneys did that. Did their work in terms of registering of title. And unfortunately, Chair, I need to indicate this, there's no incentive for provinces, municipalities, or even developers to do this because the amount that's available is 1,000 rand. Now you measure it against 1,000 rand versus the 110. So what happened and where we got ourselves into this is that the developer said, well, you know, time is money, we'll neglect the titling. We're having that process of following up. The last point, Chair, is that the dashboard that the EAB has put into place allows, and I think perhaps maybe at an appropriate time, is for us to come and show you. It allows us to, in real time, indicate this is the number of title deeds that are outstanding, and this is where they are in the process.
Where is the dashboard now?
Brian can. So, I'll ask Brian to put it up. Chair, so in relation to that, one of the pushbacks that we've had is that we've made it mandatory for each of the provinces to then use the dashboard. The problem with that they're experiencing is that if they use it, we can catch them out in relation to knowing exactly what they say. So if they say 78,000, we'll know how many have been lodged, where they sit in. So we don't have, I think what Member Memeje said is that what's the credibility of your information? And I think that's the important thing around the dashboard. Chair, I think Brian's covered most of the other issues. The legislation, I don't know if, Anton, if you want to comment on some of the other points, Chair, with your permission.
Yes, a lot has already been said by the DDG and by my CEO. And at the risk of not wanting to contradict, but just hopefully to augment what they've already said, we'll talk to the dashboard in a few minutes from now. But one of the things and talks to the capability of our report. one of the functionalities that the dashboard already has is the ability to independently verify actual registrations. So more than just receiving a report from a province or a municipality, the dashboard has the ability to independently verify or corroborate what a province is doing. So going forward, we in fact will be reporting not only on what a province has said has been delivered, but in addition to that, actual registrations which appear in the deep registry. What we've tried to do, and we trust that Murphy is not keen to have any influence here, is actually trying to do a live, go live on the dashboard for you. Yeah. In relation to the, the question was asked around the role of the involvement of municipalities.
You don't have to go into details into the dashboard. We just wanted to see if it exists.
Oh, absolutely. Ma'am, that would be disingenuous of us to say that it exists and it does not. We'll be happy to put it up now. Screenshots, and we'll be happy to just give you a very quick live on that. But a few issues. Municipalities, quite obviously, we're not able to engage them at a national level. Right? So at a national steering committee level, we engage all of the provinces. They are standing committee members, as well as all of the 8 metros. As Brian has indicated, provincial steering committees are had quarterly checked. And at that level, all of the municipalities are involved. Neville's already talked at length about the deeds registry, the SG's office and public works, so I'm not going to repeat that. I think the last point, man, relates to target setting. Brian's already confirmed the 207 was not a thumb suck figure or a number which was thrown out as a target. This was the confluence of a series of engagements between ourselves and provincial departments and metros around what the numbers are. And so just by way of example, there have been a number of instances at the start of the financial year where provinces were in fact told, you have a funding reservation, demonstrate to us how you're going to use it. And where those numbers were deemed to be insufficient or unsatisfactory, they in fact were told. And so if you peruse the presentation, you will in fact find that there's an annual target that is listed, and the annual target was one which was set at the start of the financial year, and you look at a breakdown per quarter, you in fact find that those numbers may appear higher, and that provides an explanation for that. We almost want to differ from the last point around is 207 too high. 207 is not. It's almost, we certainly consider it a non-negotiable. Our mandate has been very specific, eradicate the target. In fact, my performance agreement for this financial year is tied to 207,000. And so if we don't aim high, we are not going to hit anything at all. So we'd like to believe, and this is the final point before I try to go to the dashboard. Yes, the department gave a report which said that there were a couple of items in the red and titling was in the red. This report does not contradict what the department is saying. We are conceding that the first two financial years, delivery has not been as it ought to have been, but we'd like to believe that we are now turning a corner and that the trajectory going forward is going to be a lot better. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chair, so Anthony's setting up. I just want to show what the diagram looks like, and this is how it presented. Look at how things there. There would be a indication of how many instructions has been uploaded from the province to the system, and then we see a second block below that circle. It's a little bit small there, but then it says how many instructions has been accepted by the conveyancer. In that instance, it's 2,400, and then it shows when transfer duties are paid, but being lodged, when documents is going into the deed office, when documents are registered, in those instances 498, it shows when those title deed is delivered back to the attorney. It also shows when the title deed is delivered back to the deed office. So what we try to do is to build a system that will track it. I'm going to give agricultural cable here, just to Anton, to just show the live on the internet in real time.
Presentation. This is actually just something you need to be able to see on your PC, so forgive the small print. This is in fact live, and I've just cited the Northern Cape as an example. So if I look at the instruction overview, there you can see that for this financial year alone, the Northern Cape has issued 4,223 instructions to conveyances. Now, if memory serves me correctly, the target for the Northern Cape for this financial year is just over 7,000, give or take a few. So here you already, just a very quick snapshot, you get a sense here that, and that's why we can say with reasonable confidence that the Northern Cape is in fact going to make that target of 7,000, because almost two thirds of its projects, of its title deeds that it says is going to be delivered, they've already started engaging conveyances on this issue. They've already issued a sole conveyancer. What the dashboard is in addition is able to do on this issue is, so there's another view which gives a breakdown of that 2,700. I'm going to run through them just because the it's not very legible. So there are about six or seven conveyances that are engaged there, and on any given one, I can see that there's a conveyancer where 900 instructions have been issued, of which this conveyance has already accepted 513. And of that, 246 have already, of these have already been registered. So, and we have the functionality to in fact drill down into all of them. So, Honorable Mamede, when we do present you with a figure, it's not what we wish for or we hope for. And of course, my first point around the dashboard, so, yeah, we're able to see exactly what a province said it has done versus what actually appears within the deeds registry. Just very quickly, Chairperson, and I'm not going to take up a lot more of your time. In addition to talking to actual instructions to register and lodgement, etc., there are a few critical milestones, and between Brian and Neville, they've listed them already. Have township been established? Has beneficiary confirmation been done? Has land been transferred? You see that they appear there as critical milestones that and of course these need to be undertaken before a conveyancer is able to issue any or lodge documentation. So I've just given you a snapshot, and then of course we are able to collect all of this information or escalate them and collect it and provide you with a national picture which was presented in part this morning. Thank you, Chair.
My last point on this, Chair, is that I think it's just important for the committee to be aware that in relation to this target, it's It's in our Outcome 8 program of actions. The minister reports on it quarterly to cabinet, and it is a big issue because it's sitting at rest. I mean, I think last year we set 13% of our target, and hence the I don't want us to take this out of context, but there's panic in the department, so we're panicking. So I think. And panic is good for us because it drives us to achieve that objective. So I think it's just important to note that. Yeah.
Thank you very much to the department and the AAP. Thank you very much from the honourable members. All that we probably, I think the last comment from Mr. Cheney sort of also covers us, because all of that I wanted to say was, unfortunately, this issue is going to be an issue in all our committee meetings, even if it's not on the item, on the agenda. We will just throw in the question and ask how much is going on this issue, because it's something that we really would want to see the department moving on. So next week, when we interact with Limpopo and Gauteng, this issue is also going to be uppermost in our minds on the agenda. We're starting with those two because they are the worst performers. So next week we're dealing with Limpopo and Gauteng, and even though they would be just, we will be interacting with them, but obviously the issue of the disease is going to be something that we will also be interacting with them on. Thank you very much for your indulgence. And we appreciate the openness and the honesty with which you have presented this report and responded to our questions and clarities. And the fact that you didn't feel offended even when we tried to make sure that we get under your skin. But the important thing is that all of us, we want one thing, which is we want progress and smooth and fast movement on this item. And we will all do that when we all work together. So thank you very much. And on that note, the meeting is adjourned. We're not going to look at minutes, honorable members. We will do the minutes next week because we still need to look at them. Unfortunately, that was the only item today because we wanted to have enough time for that. So you are excused. You can go and have lunch early, prepare yourself for the sitting this afternoon. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
You can call the group, but I already have the magistrate on the internet. And then I'm actually going to ask the secretary for you. This is what I do, because it's easier than going up to them, because most of them are already. So what I do is I go to the president of the community, and he has his own registration. So it's kind of easier. Then I just talk to his family. And he has to them. This is the guy who says, all the community, the guy with the blue or the lady over there. The committee picture should be the chairperson, and this is the one who gave out the document. They did out one of them for their own reason, and I'm copying for your name for mine. Because it makes it much more easy.
Yes. Yeah. So he gave it to you.
No, I didn't give it to me, but I ran a line, I got all their contact details.
How did you know? Where online did you go? Did you go to?
I just go to Google and I type in a name, because the DG is either now who's going to talk. They say it's Brian, like for example, Brian is on Shoplock. Then I went to Google and Google Shoplock and I got all these contact details.
Okay, so you just Google it.
Yeah, I just Google. Sometimes it's going to Google. So they just go to the community.
Okay.
Or you can go to them. But I think for me that also is all something to do. Because see, once they, especially if you have two agendas, because if they were going to do the meetings right now, they would leave, and then you would have to go outside and meet them, and you would miss the other second part of the meeting, and that is not good. So that's why I just write down everything.
Not a sign, but for don't see the settlement. He's part of an agency that's part of human settlement. The EAB, I think it's something board. So he's part of that. CEO. He's not down. Okay, you know, I sit over here. I think I'm sure this is going to be.